All right, Tavosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed. We are picking up on Lamed Amud Aleph, five lines down. Amar Rabasi, Shavosai, you have a little bit more Tuman Tara, just a little bit more. But it's, as we saw yesterday, it's interesting, it's riveting, it's fascinating. Mamish, you can't get enough of it because it roots us to the third base Hamikdash. That's why you have to keep thinking about it. Every time you learn Tuman Tara, it's teaching a little bit of Gula. So we're going to have it until Amud Beis, and then we're going to get back to some beautiful Agarato again. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabasi Amarav, Va'amili Amaraba Ben Isi Amarav. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer, Kulu Srilur. We'll say all of these Rabbanim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Eliezer, all hold the Ein Sheni Ose Shlishi Bechulin. That Rabbi say a Sheni cannot make a Shlishi when it comes to Chulin. So remember, again, like we saw yesterday, we start with an Avatoma. An Av makes something a Rishon. Rishon makes something a Sheni. Sheni makes something a Shlishi. We saw under certain circumstances that a Revi'i can be created as well. So therefore, again, the Gemara says over here that all of these opinions hold that when it comes to Chulin, a Sheni cannot make a Shlishi. Okay. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and prove each of these individuals holds of that particular opinion. Rabbi Meir, how do you know about Rabbi Meir? This time. Kalaton biasmayim midnivrei sofen mitame esakodesh uposel esachuon. So what's that? Let me go back a little bit. Kalaton biasmayim midnivrei sofen. Any situation where you have to go to the mikvah midirabanan. In other words, any case of tuma dirabanan. Take a look at Rashi. Kalaton biasmayim midnivrei sofen kol shu tar minat Torah. Any case where a person is tar midaraisa vechachamim his kikuhu lavo b'mayim litoyer, but yet the chachamim required him to go to the mikvah. For example, kigon. So the Rashi just gives examples which are not necessarily, we don't have to get into them now, but there are different cases where midorais, a person is absolutely tar, but there is decreed rabbinic tumah. So therefore, again, I have to go to the mikvah in order to go ahead and get rid of the rabbinic tumah. So any situation that requires me to go to the mikvah, midivrei sof. Midivrei sofrim, thank you. From midrabanan, so metame esakodesh. Both say such a person has the ability to go ahead and be metame kodesh. Remember again, what does kodesh refer to? Kodesh refers to sacrificial items. Take a look at Rashi. Thank you. Rashi says metame esakodesh lihios shlishi v'yaaser revi'i uposel esatshuma. So both say a person who goes ahead. Now remember, if a person needs to go to the mikvah, midirabanan, then I will say, obviously, he's not going to be considered like a Rishon. So interestingly enough, what the Gemara is teaching is that Lamaisa, if a person needs to go to the mikvah, midirabanan, he's treated like a Sheni. So what does that mean? Therefore, again, if he were to go ahead and touch Kodesh, he would make Kodesh a Shlishi. Uposel asachuma. And Abbas say he goes ahead and he would passel truma, which again means that, remember, he would make truma tame in a way that would not allow the truma to convey truma, but would make the truma itself passel. Umoter b'chulin, but he is permitted to eat chulin, meaning he doesn't convey truma to chulin at all. Ube ma'aser. And similarly again, Abbas say ma'aser sheni would not convey truma to as well. Div Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim osrim b'ma'aser. The Chama, on the other hand, say that a person who's Tamei midirabanan would go ahead and aser meister sheni. Take a look at Rashi. The Chachamim osrin b'maaser ba'achila, meaning that this person may not eat meister sheni. Aval negia shari, but touching meister sheni would be okay. The chulin af le'echol, and so too again chulin ravosai, the person could certainly eat. V'hachyor b'chagigo v'huad dinam midirabanan ein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. So what do you see from here? You see from here, ultimately, again, that this person who is Tamei midirabanan needs to go to the mikvah. He is considered to be, again, like a Sheni. And therefore, what do you see from here? That he's permitted to go and eat chulin, which tells me what? That a Sheni cannot make a Shlishi when it comes to chulin. Okay, that's proof number one. Rabbi Yossi, we'll see, all we're trying to show is that each of the opinions mentioned all subscribe to the same idea that a Sheni can't make, bless you, Sheni can't make a Shlishi by chulin. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi al Da'amran. Rabbi Yossi, we actually proved this at the end of yesterday's daf, after proving that Rabbi Yossi holds like the Rabbanon, and therefore again, the im isay leisay l'revi'i b'truma v'chamishi b'kodesh. Because if Rabbi Yossi, in fact, did go ahead and hold that a Sheni could go to make a Shlishi, then he could have also proven the idea from Ravi, could have brought the Kavachomer to teach us Ravi, but Truma and Chamish Kodesh. We'll say that's yesterday's daf. That we saw yesterday when we proved ultimately again that Rabbi Yossi holds like the Rabbanon. So two down, establishing the fact that a Sheni cannot make a Shlishi when it comes to Chulim. Rabbi Yoshua, what did Rabbi Yoshua say? Rabbi Yoshua Disnan, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ha'ochal, Ochal Rishon, Rishon, Ha'ochal, Ochal Rishon, Rishon, Sheni, Sheni, Shlishi, Shlishi. So we'll say, so interesting enough, Rabbi Elazar essentially says, you are what you eat, right? So if you go out and you eat a Rishon, you are a Rishon. You eat a Sheni, there's grades of Tumah. You eat a Sheni, you're a Sheni. You eat a Shlishi, you're a Shlishi. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Ha'ochal Rishon, va'ochal Sheni, Sheni. Well, so Rabbi Yeshua, this is because Rabbi Yeshua says, if you eat food that is a Rishon, or you eat food that is a Sheni, at most you become a Sheni. Shlishi, if you eat food that is a Shlishi, then the halacha is Sheni b'kodesh, ve'in Sheni b'tshuma. Then I will say, under those circumstances, l'maisav, you become again a Sheni b'kodesh, right? Or I should say, ultimately, you create a Sheni when it comes to sacrificial items, but there is no Sheni by tshuma. So the Gemara says, what's the case? Meaning, how exactly does this unfold? To which the Gemara answers, b'chulin shena'asu altaras tshuma. This could occur in a case where a person is preparing chulin with the same specificities or the same ultimately details as one would prepare truma. So the Gemara says, b'chulin shenasu altaras truma. Altaras ha-truma in, altaras ha-kodesh lo. You see from here that this only happens when chulin are prepared ultimately again altaras truma, but not altaras kodesh. But say, what does that show you? Because again, remember, when it comes to truma, we're going to be capped ultimately again at a sheni. But when it comes to kodesh, ultimately there'd be the ability to even make it into a shlishi. The fact that it caps it like the fact that it caps chulin, ultimately is being treated like truma and not like hekdish. Al makasavar ein sheni ose shlishi bechulin. Therefore, we see from here what we see that a sheni cannot make a shlishi by chulin. Fine, Rabbi Elazar. We'll say, what did Rabbi Elazar hold? Disanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shlashton Shavin. We'll say there are three cases that are treated the same way. Harishon Shebekodesh, Veshebechulin, and Veshebetruma. We'll say a Rishon, remember again, Rishon is the item that came in contact with the Avatoma. So Rishon ultimately of Kodesh, or of Chulin, or of Truma. What's the halacha? Metame Shnaim, Uposel Echod Bekodesh. So we'll say Metame Shnaim Uposel Echad B'Kodesh. So we'll say in these cases again, the idea over here is Metame B'Shnaim. Ultimately, again, it's able to create two levels of Tuma, meaning again, which means Sheni Shlishi Uposel Echad B'Kodesh. But by Kodesh, you can also go ahead and create a Shlishi Metame Echad Uposel Echad B'Tshuma. So we'll say this is very important. It creates one level of Tuma and one level of Psul. Remember, again, we spoke about this yesterday. The chilik between tame and pasul. What's the chilik? When something is tame, it means not only is it tame, but what? It has the ability to convey tuma to something else. Versus something that is pasul means it is tame, but does not have the ability to convey tuma to anything else. So metame echad. So the Gemara is like this: metame echad uposel echad betruma. So when it comes to truma, ultimately again, this item, this rishon, has the ability to metame echad. Ultimately again, there's a Rishon, Uposel Echad B'Truma, and again the Sheni will become Pasul, Uposel Echad B'Chulin. And ultimately, again, it creates one Psul in Chulin. So, what do you see from here? That Lamais, again, is by Chulin, it's capped at a Sheni, and there is no Din of Shlishi. Okay, so all we're doing is just proving what the Gemara said before. The Gemara mentioned that all of these opinions quoted above, all of them hold Ein Sheni Osa Shlishi by Chulin, and we're just proving that point. Next, Rabbi Eliezer. What did Rabbi Eliezer say? Both said, this is actually a fascinating case. So Rabbi Eliezer, this none. What did Rabbi Eliezer say? We learn in the following Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Chala nitalas minatahora alatmea. We'll say, you could take challah. Now remember again, there's a halacha, applies even today, that when you're making a dough of a certain size, you must remove challah from that dough. So in the past, remember in times of the Beis HaMikdash, that challah was one of the Kohanic portions. You would take that challah, you'd separate it off, you'd give it to the Kohen. So today again, because we Kohanim don't eat challah because no one is tahor, so we burn the challah. We burn it. So let's say a fine situation. So the Mishnah says, if you have two, actually differently, Rabbi Lozer says that challah nitalas min haTorah al tameiyah, that you could take challah from a tahor dough to satisfy the challah criteria for a tamei dough. Now, what does that mean? Disnan. I'm sorry, Ketzad. What's the case? This is actually very interesting. Shtei Yisos. So we'll say you have two doughs. Achas Torah v'achas Tameo. One is Tahar and one is Tamei. So what's the halacha? Notel kidei chala mi'isa shelo hurma chalasa. So we'll say, here's the issue over here. Here's the issue. I want to be able, I don't want to take chala from the Tamei dough. Why don't I want to take challah from the tamei dough? Because first of all, because it's tamei, right? The coin can't eat it, right? Meaning, again, listen, I want to be clear. If you took challah from the tamei dough, technically speaking, one could be yotze, because again, it's not really my problem; it's the coin's problem. But in any event, I'm not doing that. I would like to go ahead and take challah from the tahor dough. The problem is, so how do I do that? Because listen, the halacha normally is that you're supposed to take challah. What's called min hamukaf. This is actually a very, you should know. Not for today, but is it actually a very interesting contemporary shaila in commercial bakeries today. So in commercial bakeries that are under kosher supervision, how do they deal with hafrashas challah? They're making huge amounts of dough, huge amounts of dough every single day. Usually you don't necessarily have a mashgiach tamidi in such mechanized types of plants. How do you do hafrashas challah? So it's interesting. There are all types of halachic mechanisms, but one of the major issues that come up is something called taking challah min hamukaf, meaning that I will say you are supposed to take challah from the very dough that you are processing. I mean, let's say I go out, I'm making a dough, and you know what, I have a dough on the side over there, I'll just take challah from that dough over there on this dough over here. Now, if you did it, technically speaking, according to many opinions, it could work. But lechatchila, we want to take challah mamish from the dough that I'm making now. See, here's the problem I have. I have two doughs, one is tamei, one is tahar, so I want to take challah from the tahar dough. But how does taking challah from the tahor dough satisfy the criteria for the tamei dough? So watch this. This is amazing. So ketzad shtei isos. I have two doughs. Achas tahor v'achas tamei. One is tahor, one is tamei. No kil k'dei challah me'isa shelo hurma chalasa. So we'll say, as long as the tahor dough has not yet had its challah removed. So here's what I can do. I can go ahead and take challah from the tahor dough. V'nosein pachos mekabetza be'emtza. Well, say, watch this. I take a little bit of dough, less than a kabeitza, less than an egg's volume, and I stick it in between the two doughs. Kedei litol min hamukaf. In order that what? Meaning I create a dough bridge. We'll see why pachos mikabeitza in just a moment. That's less than a kabeitza. That little dough bridge connects the two doughs, and therefore when I take challah from the tahor dough, it's as if what? I'm taking it from one large dough, and it satisfies the min hamukaf, the proximity criteria for the tamei dough. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So we'll say, so mukaf, first of all, Rashi says, means connected. So first of all, Rashi says, there is this idea that the Torah says, so you have to go, you will go ahead and remove challah, so we darshan min hamukaf. That the idea is that challah should be taken from the very same dough. Hilchach, tzrichah, look, now we're just turning the page. Hilchach, Rashi. Hilchach, tzarech lahakif ha-challah itzel ha-isa kodem shetikra la-shein. Therefore, one should try to attach the challah to the tamei dough before designating it as challah. V'hachi makifala nosenes ba'areva l'tzad echad. Let me just clarify this. You're not connecting the two doughs. What you're doing is you're removing a piece of the dough from the tahor dough. Then you're putting it in the bowl together with the tamei dough. You're taking a little bit of dough, pachos mikabetza, and attaching the two doughs. The piece that was removed from the tahor dough and the tamei dough. And then what happens? Benachal Torah ben Yisat Mea vaemtzoyes nogas b'shteyen umitzarfasan. And the middle piece of dough, that dough bridge, that is pachos mikabeis. I'm reading Rashi still. Top Rashi, lamed amud beis, four lines down. Last wide line in Rashi on the top. And that little dough bridge connects the piece of challah that was separated, the piece of the tar dough with the tamei dough. The korin ashem al challah. I call it, I think most remember, challah only becomes challah, not simply when you separate it, but what? When you designate it, when you declare it. So over here again, I'm declaring it now when it's attached. Umisalekes im kriyas Hashem. And I go ahead and I can, we'll see, here's a great chap. So remember again, this allows me to separate tar challah from, so to speak, a tamei dough. I have my tamei dough, I take a portion of challah from the tar dough, but I don't designate it as challah. I then attach the piece separated from the tar dough to the tamei dough, with a piece of dough less than a kabbis, so we'll discuss why that is. Then when it's attached, I declare it as challah. Once I declare it as challah, then what? Then I separate. Right? I should say I separate it and I declare it as challah. So the Gemara says the following. The Rashi says the following. Upachos mikabeis. So why am I using less than an egg's value? Eino metame es challah. So we'll say the reason for that is because less than a kabbis is not mekabel tuma. Therefore, again, by attaching this little piece of dough to the tamei loaf, if it's more than a kabeitza, it itself will become tamei. If it's pachos mi kabeitza, it's not tamei. Va'af apishu atzma mekabel tuma, kidisayim b'taras karni, mikala ochel ef sheyochal, melamishu mi uta b'chol hu sheyochal, yitmalach irim, b'chol shu tamalom ha sheyochal, v'yashni berek basa diyuma, ochel nachal wasach ha-shirchom, in beis avliya machzik yosef v'yitz tanagos. Fine. So if I will say, this is the eitza that's being given by Rabbi Eliezer. You want to go ahead and you want to take tar challah from tamei dough, no problem. Take the tamei dough, separate out a portion from a tar dough, connect that portion to the tamei dough with a piece of dough less than the size of an egg. Therefore, again, it's not mekabel tuma. It's considered to be now mina mukaf. They're all connected. Once they're connected, then separate off that piece of tar dough. Bless you. As challah and shalom Yisrael. The Chacham, top of Lamed Amud Beis, the Chacham say no. Chacham Osrim, the Chacham say this does not work. The Tanya Kibetza Savruha, eat. So the Gemara says like this. So we learned in a Braisa. So first of all, the Chachamim say that this mechanism does not work. Rashi says, we'll see what the reason is in just a little bit. Vitanya kibetza. So we'll say, so we learned the Braisa. So look at Rashi. Vitanya kibetza. Vitanya bebraisa li with Rabbi Eliezer. Venosenes af kibetza beemsa. Vafilo hachilo metamelo lechala achel nikal eshein. We'll say, yeah, interesting enough, the Gemara points out there's another Braisa. And the Braisa says that the piece of bridge dough, right, we'll call bridge dough, the bridge dough, can even be the size of a beitza. So what's going on over here? Remember, we just said before in the first Mishnah, I should say, that lamaisa, the bridge works as long as what? It's pachos mika beitza. Be it, I have another brisa that says that even like a beitza works. To which the Gemara says, savruha, idi v'idi be'isa rishona. The truth is, both cases are talking about a situation where the tamei dough is a rishon, v'chulin hatvulin lechala, lo kechala damu. And also we paskin that chulin that is obligated in chala, but has not yet had chala removed from it, is not treated like chala. Rather, it's treated like chulin. Now, what does that mean? You see, the havamina is like this. I would have thought that perhaps chala is considered to be sanctified item. I might have thought that chulin, right, that does not yet have challah separated from it, has the status of challah, a higher level of sanctity. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah tells you that that's not, the Gemara tells you that's not the case. That chulin that has not yet had challah separated from it is treated like what? It's treated like chulin. So the Gemara says, my love, b'hakam iflagi. So are they not arguing about the meaning? So we'll say, so now watch this. So now the shayla is, it's going to be, what's puzzle? Oh, so what is it? We're going to resolve that machlokes in just a moment. So hold on to that. So remember, so far, here's what we're trying to figure out. Remember, we have a stira. We have two things going on over here. Number one, we have machlokes chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer just about whether or not this bridge dough works. Rabbi Eliezer says it works. Chachamim say it does not work. That's issue number one. That's machlokes number one. Issue number two is that we seem to have a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah tells me the bridge dough works as long as what? I should say the dough bridge works as long as pachos mikabeitza. The Braisa tells me even if it's a kibeitza. Someone says, okay, let's take a step back over here.
What are they arguing about? So first of all, let's establish that everybody agrees that chulin that does not yet have challah separated from it is considered to be like what? It's considered to be like chulin. Let's take that for granted right now. So what are they arguing about? My love, v'hakam eflagi, demar savar a ein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. So we'll say, so one opinion holds that a sheni doesn't have the ability to ultimately go ahead and become a shlishi, and therefore I will say what? Like Rashi says, if you hold that a sheni can't become a shlishi, then if that's the case, then what? Then even the bridge dough could be a kibetza. Why I will say? Because even if the dough is a rishon, and even if the rishon makes the bridge dough a sheni, nevertheless what? The sheni bridge dough can't do anything to the piece of tahar dough that's attached to it, because ein sheni osa shlishi. If that's the case, it makes absolutely no difference how large the bridge dough is. Umar Savra, the other opinion, says no. Sheni osa shlishi bechulin. It's not true that a sheni can make a shlishi bechulin, and therefore, what Rabbi say? Therefore, the bridge dough must be pachos mikizayis. Must be pachos mikabeitza. Because if it's only if it's less than a beitza, then it doesn't transmit tuma. But if it's the size of a beitza or more, it will transmit tuma. Amra Mari Breed Rav Kahana, no. The Chuli Alma, not true. Everybody holds the Chuli Alma. This verse is very interesting. First of all, it's just a fascinating case of Avrasha's Chala. The Chuli Alma, Ein Sheni Osa Shlishi B'chulin. No. Everyone agrees that a Sheni can't make a Shlishi when it comes to Chulin. That's everybody's going to agree with. V'hacha B'chulin HaTavulin L'chala K'miflegi. The Bible says here, the interesting machlokes is, when it comes to Chulin, we'll say, so the shaila is, if you have chulin dough that has not yet had chala separated from it, what is the status of that dough? Mar savar kechala damu. We'll say, so one opinion holds, it's like chala, meaning therefore it has sanctity, and because it has sanctity, therefore what? It is more receptive to tuma. Once it's more receptive to tuma, you could only use bridge dough that's less than a kibetza. Because if you use a kibetza bridge dough, then what? It has the ability to convey tuma. Umar savar lo kechala damu. And the other opinion holds that it's not like chala, it's just like chulin. And therefore, again, in sheni osa shlishi by chulin. And therefore, again, even if the bridge dough is more the kibetza, it will not transmit tuma to the tar dough. V'ibayzim, the second possibility is t'chuli alma chulin hatavun lechala lo kechala damu. But the other possibility is that everyone holds that a dough that has not yet had chala separated from it is not like chala, rather again it's like chulin. V'ein sheni osa shlishi. And what? And everyone will agree that a sheni can't create a shlishi when it comes to chulin. Listen to this. V'hacha b'mutter ligrom tuma l'chulin shebe eretz Yisrael kamiflagi. Oh, boss, I listen to this fundamental machlokes. What are they arguing about? Are you permitted to knowingly create tuma in eretz Yisrael? So boss, in chutz la'aretz, who cares? Right, we're all tamei anyway. In eretz Yisrael, right, in eretz Yisrael, where there's an obligation to safeguard the sanctity of the land, are you permitted to be goreng tuma? Can you cause something to become tamei? But you should just know, you know, if Cook discusses this concept in a hashkafic sense, about the concept of being goreng tuma in Eretz Yisrael, from a halachic sense, the Gemara is saying, so far, here's the good news. The good news is, everybody's pretty much agreeing that when it comes to chulin, ein sheni osa shlishi, we've established that. We've also, so again, a sheni came when it comes to chulin, we've also established number two, that's what? That dough that has not yet had chala separated from it, Rabosai, is not treated like chala, but rather what? It's treated like chulin. So now the Gemara says, you know what the machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is? So you'll say, here's what everybody agrees with. In our case over here, where you have the two doughs, the tar dough and the tamei dough, and I want to be able to take challah that's tar, but I can't take challah that's tar from a tamei dough. So what do I do? What are the Mishnah and Brisa suggest? Take a little piece of tar dough and use it as a bridge between the tamei dough and the piece of challah removed from the tar dough. But say, what's the one piece everybody will agree with? What happens to the bridge? The bridge is tamei. Right, because also remember, even because remember, if the tamei dough is a rishon, that bridge is becoming a sheni. Because remember, again, lemaisa, all we're saying is the bridge can't convey anything to the other piece of tarda because in sheni osa shlishi by chulin. But everyone is agreeing that the bridge becomes tamei. So Bosa, the Gemara is suggesting over here that what's the fundamental machlokas? Can you go ahead and cause tuma in Eretz Yisrael? Mar savar mutar ligram tuma luchulin shev Eretz Yisrael. So one opinion says it is permitted to be goring tuma. You can create again. Bosa, now I want to be clear. This is talking about being goring tuma by chulin. Everyone's agreeing you can't intentionally defile truma. You can't intentionally defile meiser sheni. You can't intentionally defile karbanos kodshim. But you can intentionally defile chulin to serve some higher purpose, like in this case, being able to separate out challah that is tar. So one opinion says, this is Rabbi Eliezer, that you can do it, yes, even though it's going to be collateral damage, or I should say collateral tuma damage, in that the dough bridge is going to become tamei, it's going to become a sheni, but lamaisi, you're permitted to do it. Omar Savar, this is amazing. Aser ligrom tuma lechulin sheberetz Yisrael. The other opinion says no, which is the Rabbanon. You are not permitted to go ahead and cause tuma, unnecessary tuma, even for chulin in Eretz Yisrael. So we'll say the Gemara is off with that fundamental machlokas. But bottom line, for our purposes, what we come out from this sugya is that halacha lemaisa, pretty much everyone is on the same page, that at least when it comes to chulin, Ein sheni osa shlishi, which is very important. When it comes to unconsecrated, non-sacrificial items, the lowest level of tumah is what's called the sheni. So remember, again, you'd have an ava tumah, a corpse, a sheretz, that would create the rishon. Rishon has the ability to convey tumah to a sheni, but once for non-consecrated, once you get to a sheni, that is the bottom of the line for tumah. There is no longer any transmission of tumah. Says the Gemara. We'll say now we're going to get back to a little bit of agarata. Actually, no, not yet. I'm sorry. Sorry, that was just a tease. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, "Bo v'yom davish Rabbi Akiva." We'll say, if you remember again, the next thing the Mishnah quoted was another interesting discussion about the Torah. Remember, the Gemara quoted the pasuk that when it comes to the Migrashei Alevim, or the Aralevim, when it comes to Levitic cities, so the Torah seems to give contradictory information. On one hand, the Torah says that the Migrash, the area surrounding the cities, will be 2,000 amos, and then the Torah also said that what is going to be 1,000 amos. So we're trying to figure out what does that mean. So remember, one opinion quoted in the Mishnah said that what it means is like this. 1,000 amos is the open space you have to have, but 2,000 amos is teaching me Tchum Shabbos. The Shabbos boundary, the Rabbos, you are permitted to travel 2,000 amos outside of the confines of a city on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Bobim Darush Rabbi Akiva, but my Kamiflegi. So Rabbos, so what are they arguing about in the Mishnah? Mar Sover Tchumin Doraisa, Umar Sover Tchumin Darabana. So Rabbos, you'll remember this from our Shabbos and our Erevin days. Many moons ago. So the idea, so remember we had this machlokes, Tchum Shabbos. Is Tchum Shabbos a Daraisa? Or is Tchum Shabbos a Dirabbanon? Right? Both of the concept that, now remember, this concept doesn't apply that much for us today because Tchum is often measured by the end of inhabited area. So remember, again, they're operating from a model that you'd have a city, the city has a wall, and then you'd go out into the desert or somewhere. You'd have open fields for miles and miles and miles. So then you'd have to measure how much you're permitted to travel on Shabbos. So the idea is you have 2,000 amos from the edge of the city. So fundamental machlokis is the concept of tchum daraisa derabanan. That machlokis plays out in our Mishnah. Because if you hold that tchum is daraisa, then you're going to use a pasuk to prove it. But if you hold that tchum is derabanan, then ultimately there's no pasuk in the Torah that addresses them. Fine. Weiter. Now we get to agarata. Bo bayom darsh Rabbi Akiva. I'm sorry, ten rabanan. Was is actually very beautiful. Tan Rabbanan. Bo Bayom. Remember, we spoke about in the Mishnah, what is Bo Bayom on that day? That day refers to the day in which they removed Rabbi Gamliel from the position of the Nasi. Rabbi Gamliel had an interesting sheet. Rabbi Gamliel posted guards, sentries, at the entranceway of the Beis Medrash, and he said, in order to enter into here, you have to be a totally genuine Mevakesh. Tocho Kibaro. And therefore, the inside like the outside, and therefore many people were excluded from the Beis Medrash. Not because they weren't good people, but because of Osai, it's hard to be a genuine individual. It's very hard to be a genuine individual. So the day that they removed Rabbi Gamliel, they removed the guards from the Beis Medrash. And remember, there was an influx of Talmidei Chachamim. And again, they started resolving all these different issues. So Bo Bayom on that day, it's very beautiful. Bo Bayom, Darash Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva dashed the following. He said, B'sha'a sha'alu Yisrael min hayam. When Klal Yisrael came up from the Yam. This is about from Yam Suf. When, remember, they traveled through the sea. They came up on the other side. Nosnu einayim, literally they set their eyes, lomar shira,
to say Shira. Remember, as we'll say, what Rabbi Akiva is saying is, the first thing is, when Klal Yisrael, this is amazing, Klal Yisrael came out from the Yam Suf, they realized that they had to say Shira. Now, they did not know what to say or how to say or when to say, but they realized that this event that they just lived through, the crossing through the sea, required a response. Required a response. I have to say something. The Ketzad Amru Shira, this is amazing. So how do they say Shira? How do they say Shira? Kegadol hamakre esahalo, vehein onen acharav rashi prakim. So you know how they sang Shira? The Shira? They sang Shira like the Gadol, like the way an adult leads us when we say halo, answering the beginning of the paragraph. So also, now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is in the wide lines on the bottom, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom, in the wide lines of Rashi. Kegadol hamakre esahalo, Rashi says, makrehu litzibor, lotzien dechavasen. So I'll say, remember, what the Gemara is referring to over here is, how do they used to say halo? The shliach tzibor, the chazan, would say halo, and everyone else would listen, and they would go ahead, and they would be yotze. I'll say, this is the concept of shomea ka'ona. So shomea ka'ona means that you listen, you answer amen, and you discharge your obligation through your listening to the shliach tzibor. So what happens? So they listen to Moshe recite Shira. Next Rashi, behein onin acharav rashi prakim haleluka. And they would go ahead and answer after him, literally the beginnings of the paragraph. Rashi says, Shirosha parasha called Davar Shu Omer, Onin Acharav Haleluka, Tisan Mesecha Sukha, Mishaya Evero Isha Kata Makri Oso, who Ona Acharav Mashem Omrim, Vim Hayagadal Makri Oso, Ona Acharav Haleluka. Let's listen to this. So when they used to say Hala, what would happen? So the Shliach Tzibor would go and say Hala, and the Tzibor would answer, Haleluka. Right? They'd say, they would affirm, like, so Haleluka is the Halal equivalent of Amen. So what happens? So the first opinion says that when Klal Yisrael said Shira, Moshe Rabbeinu said the Shira, he's the one who said the song, and what? And we just, like, we answered, like Shomei HaKohen, he said on our behalf, we listened attentively, answering whatever they, whether they said Amen, whether they said Hallelujah, whatever they did, they answered something. So, Vehin on Acharav Rashi Prakim, Moshe Amar, what's the Rashi Prakim? Moshe Amar Shira LaHashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Ashira LaHashem, let's sing out to God. Vehein Omrim, Ashira LaHashem, let's sing out to God. Moshe Amar, Ki Ga'o Ga'a, literally Moshe Rabbeinu was saying it phrase by phrase, because God is so strong, God is so great. Vehein Omrim, Ashira LaHashem. So according to the first opinion, literally Moshe Rabbeinu said the entire Shira out loud, and they answered. How did they answer? Every single thing that Moshe Rabbeinu said, they responded, Ashira LaHashem. Let us call out, let us sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Quite beautiful. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Eliezer ben Osho, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Kekatan Hamakre Esahalo. Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi, said, no. That when Moshe Rabbeinu said Halel, said Ashira, he said it like a katan who says Halel before the tzibor. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, no, not yet. Now, imagine the following. Let's say you have a tzibor where there's only a child who knows how to recite Halel. So what do you do in such a situation? You can't do Shomea Ka'ona. Why can't you do Shomea Ka'ona? Because in order to do Shomea Ka'ona, you have to have a gadol, right? You have to have somebody who's obligated. So what do you do in a situation? Imagine you have a minion of people who don't know how to read Hebrew. So what do you do? So the katan says it, and what? Everyone repeats after them. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Elili, said, that's what happened by Az Yashir. Moshe Rabbeinu read it before them like a katan reads Halel, and they answered after him. Komashu Omer. Omer Moshe Ashira LaHashem. So, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Let's sing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Behein Omrim Ashira LaHashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu says Ashira LaHashem. They repeat, "Moshe Amar Ki Ga'o Ga'a." Behein Omrim Ki Ga'o Ga'a. So again, second opinion says they repeated literally line after line, phrase after phrase of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Nechemya says, "Kisofer Haporis Al Shema BeBeis Sakneses." They recited the Shira, just like the Chazan ultimately recites Shema in the Shul. Shehu poseach tchila, he opens it up, vehein onin acharav, and they answer after him. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Kisofer, 5 lines after the Bible in Rashi. Kisofer, melami tinoko. So we'll say, Sofer refers to a Rebbe of young children, vu tadr beis akneses, uporis al shema la asarna adim. And often the Rebbe would lead davening. So what happens? Poris lashon pros, pros achag, lefnei achag, maschil bebrachos, shelefnei kriyashma, vein onin acharav, vekorin kulan yachod, vechin shar seracha kodesh al kulam, vikivnu yachad es hashek sovar. We'll say, this is beautiful. So what happens? This third opinion. This third opinion. Who was this? Rabbi Nechemia says, Rabbi will say, what happens with the chazan? The chazan will often begin the section out loud, and then what? Everyone says it together in unison. So Rabbi Nechemia says, that's what happened by the Shira. Moshe Rabbeinu began it out loud, and then literally Ruach HaKodesh rested upon all of them, and they all said the Shira together. But I see how beautiful this is. So three-way machlokes about how they said as Yashir. First opinion says that Lamaisa, again, they said it like a gadol leading in Halal, named Mishomea Ka'ona. They heard Moshe Rabbeinu, and they listened, and they were Yotzei like that. They responded each time he says something with the refrain Ashir Elashem. Second opinion, they repeated every single word after him. Third opinion, Moshe began the Shira out loud and they recited it in unison together. But my kamiflagi, so Moshe, what is the source of this machlokes? Rabbi Akiva says, Lemar, when the Pasuk says, Az Yashem Moshe Avnei Yisrael as Ashira Zos Lemar, Amilsa Kamaisa. So Rabbi Akiva will say that it refers ultimately again to the first thing that was stated. In other words, that it refers to the first pasuk in the Shira is Ashira LaHashem. Therefore, the more means that every single time Moshe Rabbeinu said something, Klal Yisrael answered Ashira LaHashem. Rabbi Eliezer ben Osh Rabbi Yosef Lili Savar Leimor Akol Milso Milsa. Also on the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer son Rabbi Yosef Lili says Leimor means that they repeated everything. So they're arguing of what the word Leimor means. Rabbi Nechemia Savar Vayomru. Vayomru means Da'amar Kulu Bahadi Adadi. So Vayomru means they all said the entire Shira. Leimor says the Pasach Moshe Bereisha, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who began the section or the Shira of Az Yashir. So we'll say three machlokes as to how our ancestors sang Shira Alayam. Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say the Gemara goes weiter. Darsha B'Yosei Lili B'Shash Ali Yisrael Min Hayam. When Klal Yisrael came up from the sea, Nasnu Einehem Lomar Shira. They lifted their eyes and decided again that they had to sing Shira. The Ketzad Amru Shira. Well, say, listen to how beautiful this is. So how do they sing Shira? Olel Mutol Abir Keimo. If there was a young child, a baby, sitting on its mother's lap, V'tinok Yonek Mishteimo, or literally a child nursing from his mother, Kevan Shera'u Es HaShchina. When the children saw the Shchina, Olel Higbiat Savaro, the little baby lifted his neck from his mother's lap. V'tinok shamat dad mipiv, and the baby stopped nursing, and the children said, "Va'omru zekeli vandeyu." It was amazing that again there was such an incredible manifestation of the Shechina, such an incredible revelation that even little babies, a little baby who was being cradled by its mother, little baby who was nursing, stopped whatever they were doing, and they called out, Azekeli Vanveyu. They called out, "This is my God." They were able to point him, they were able to see him, able to perceive him. "This is my God, and ultimately I will exalt him," Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, Mipi Olalim Vionkim Yisara Ta'oz. Literally, from the mouth of Olalim V'yomkim, young children, nursing children, babies, and nursing children, Yisarata, you have established your strength. Hayy Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, we'll say another beautiful idea. Minayin Sha'afilu Obrim Shebemai Iman Amru Shira. How do we know that even children who were in utero, even children who were in their mother's stomach, babies, said Shira? This is amazing. Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, Tap of Lamed Aleph, B'makelos baruchu Elokim Hashem mimkari Yisrael. Literally, B'makelos means in the assemblies, baruchu Hashem Elokim, bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu our God, mimekar Yisrael. Literally, mekar Rabbosai also means, mekar is another word that's used for the uterus. Even those children ultimately, again, who were in utero, sang Shira. I, the Gemara says, v'halo chazu, but one second, but they weren't able to see anything. Rabbi Tanchum keres na'aseh lahem ka'aspeklaria ha'me'ira v'ra'u. Literally, the mother's womb became transparent so that the baby was able to see everything that was unfolding. Rosa, I'll tell you something amazing. In the Sefer Alev Radin, he points out over here, this is just amazing, amazing diuk. He quotes over here from the Imre Emes. And the Imre Emes says, he asked the Kasha, that when Miriam said Shira, it says, Vatan, Vatan Lahem Miriam. So again, remember, Moshe Rabbeinu led the men in Shira, Miriam led the women in Shira. So asked the Emiras, the Rebbe of Ger, he says, I don't understand. It should have, it said, the post says, Vatan Lahem Miriam. Miriam led them. Now, Lahem is Lashon Zohar. Lahem is masculine. It should have said what? Vatan Lahem Miriam. Lichora im hayaponim l'nashim, hayatzarech lomar vatan lahen. So it says the Imre MS, if Miriam's leading the women, it should have said, he led them feminine, she led them feminine. Ella. This is amazing. Shene acher regam ha ubrim amar shira ubeineim haya bevadai gam zicharim lefichach amra belashon zachar. But because when Miriam led the women, who else was joining in that shira? The babies in utero, and among those babies in utero, there are definitely what? Male children. I will say, you know, the law in Hebrew grammar is that whenever you have a group and there are members of that group that are masculine, so ultimately the pronoun that's used is always the masculine pronoun. So the Imre Emes says something amazing, that Miriam led the women. We just saw now over here in the Gemara that, again, the pregnant women, their children in utero were saying Shira. There were definitely male children who were in utero as well. Therefore, again, the Pasuk uses the Lashon of Zachar to teach us that when Miriam led the women, so the children, some of the male also joined that cheer in Europe. Such a beautiful image. All of Klal Yisrael, those in this world and those about to come into this world, all said cheer together. So I just want to end off with one marsha. Do we have time? Yeah, we have 1 minute. So listen to this marsha. The marsha says the following. The marsha says, remember, the second opinion we saw as to how our ancestors read Hallel was Kekatan Hamakre Esa Hallel. Right? Remember, the second opinion was that we said Hallel like the way the Katan leads the congregation. How does the Katan lead the congregation? So if the Katan says a phrase in what? And what? Everyone repeats afterwards. So asks the Marsha, Afa Gavsha Yotzin Berashe Prakim, Taha Ein Lano Gadol Mimosha, Uba Gadol Hamakre Osan Yotzin Echavasa Bishmiya. So Marsha, I don't understand this. Why would they, why do they have to repeat after Moshe? Let Moshe Rabbeinu say the Shira and what? In other words, like the first opinion. Why does the second opinion say they repeated every single phrase after Moshe? Why not just say that what? What? Moshe Rabbeinu said it, and Shomei Kohen, they were Yotzi with his recitation. Right? Meaning, why do they have to repeat every single phrase? Remember, if the Katan is leading the congregation in Hallel, the reason you have to repeat every single phrase is why? Because a Katan can't be Motzi adults, but Moshe Rabbeinu could be Motzi the entire Klal Yisrael. So why don't you just listen to this Shomei Kohen? This is what the Marsha says. This is amazing. It's amazing. Yesh Lomar, Mirshum Pirsumi Milsa, Lo hayu rotzin latzeis b'shmiya mimosha, the hayu onin kulam kekatan makri. You know why says the Marsha? Because they did not want to be yotze with Shomei Kohenah. They wanted to say Shira themselves. In that moment, they did not want to simply rely on someone else's utterance. I know we could have done it that way. They wanted to say it themselves. Because it's such an incredible idea that ultimately, so often in life, we rely on other people to do the things that need to get done. And sometimes the greatest accomplishment in life is do it yourself. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Don't wait for someone else to accomplish. Even though someone else could technically do it, mamish again, take achrayis. They realize at this moment they have the ability to go in and say, Shira, it's true. Could we rely on Moshe? He has us in mind. He's holier than us. He's better than us. Realize at the end of the day, somebody can be holier than me. Somebody can be better than me. But at the end of the day, nobody's going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu like me. And therefore, when they realize that they had that opportunity to recite Shira, even though they could have relied on Moshe, they chose to take that golden opportunity for themselves. We'll stop over here. Remember, just tomorrow is a legal holiday schedule. Davening is at 7:15. Daf will follow the davening in Meretz Hashem at approximately 8:00 a.m. Again, we have beautiful, I'm just giving you coming attractions, beautiful, beautiful Gemara tomorrow. So Meretz Hashem will have time to ma'ayin into the sugyas.